Hello and welcome to the Journalism.co.uk podcast, a show where we bring you insights from media industry experts to help journalists do their jobs better. I'm your host, Jacob Granger. This week, we're talking about how to stick to change management in your newsroom. There's lots of great strategies floating around in journalism, but exciting ideas often fizzle out and we can easily fall back to our old habits. So when the going gets tough, how can we remain focused on our new plans? Joining me is Lars Jensen, Team Lead Audience at Berlingske Media, who will be sharing the steady progress of the new user needs journey he's been leading at the Danish News Group. Coming up, we'll talk about buy-in, exactly what it means, how to galvanise your newsroom, and the likely pitfalls of sparking change in your organisation. That's all coming up, so don't go anywhere. Lars, welcome to the journalism.co.uk podcast. Thank you ever so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me.
You've got a very interesting job title, Lars, that we're going to talk a little bit about today as Team Lead Audience of Berlingske Media. Would you tell us exactly what that means and the remit of your work there at the company?
Yeah, of course. So basically, I'm sort of the head of the audience team. We're a small team with three people. So it's me with my background in journalism, and we're working across the organization, and we're trying to on a higher level understand our audiences and get that knowledge out into the organization and into the newsrooms, but obviously also to the commercial department that we are a part of. And and the other two in the team, we have a conversion rate optimization specialist. So that's everything that happens prior to a conversion, be it on a paywall or a registration wall. The other one is a customer, her title is customer journey specialist. So that's what happens after the conversion. And then you might ask, what's left for the team lead if the two specialists are doing that? So the way we meet, I run those meetings and I do a lot of analysis for our newsrooms, or both on user needs and dig deeper into the analysis. And some of the things I think I'm good at is converting it into something that can make sense in a newsroom.
And that's across multiple publications at the company as well.
Yeah, we have four publications. We have Berlingske, which we're named after, and which just celebrated its 275th birthday, I think.
Happy birthday.
we have Berlingske and the Weekendavisen, which means the weekend newspaper, which was used to be the evening edition of Berlingske. Those two are both, what you can say, subscriber funded. And then we have two, BT, which is a tabloid, and Euroinvestor, who are solely advertising funded. So, and we work with all of them. So, logically, we don't spend a lot working with paywalls on the two free ones, but then it's about getting registered users and some of the things we work with in paywall conversions also makes sense when you are converting people into registration and staying locked in and so on.
Right. So it's a company-wide role to better understand who are the audiences of each publication and which type of content will best serve their needs and also move them further along in the subscription funnel.
Yeah. So that's my part is like I spend a lot of my time in the organization, and the two others in the team are more, you know, in the commercial department. So we sort of try to split it that way. But yeah, it's a great sum up of what we try to do. Yeah.
Okay, so user needs. For the uninitiated, there are eight types of needs that audience look to satisfy when they engage with content. Now, the news tends to focus too much on what we call update me content, and by ignoring other user needs, they're potentially missing out on deeper relationships and reader revenue. It's Lars's job to look at the previous week's output and manually tag each article with a user need. Yes, that's a massive task, and we'll go more into that later on. He's trying to link user needs to consumer actions, notably which types of content will convert readers into paid subscribers. The working hypothesis is that Connect Me and Give Me an Edge stories are the best bet. As part of this, he has fortnightly meetings with each publication's editor and a company-wide meeting once a month. His small team has a weekly meeting on their key deliverables, and in his case, that's paywall and registration conversions.
What I do is that I attach a user need to every story that Berlingske has published behind their paywall the week prior. And volume-wise, they publish around 250 to 300 articles Luckily, I don't have to read the entire article because we've decided on that. What we're focusing most on is, you know, the conversion. So that's the history of why we're looking at user needs. It's based on conversions. When I apply user needs and when we talk about user needs with Balance, we focus on what's on the free side of the paywall. So that's the headline and the sub-headline, you could call it, and then the first three paragraphs and obviously the image. So based on that, I attach a user need, and we use the Wall Street Journal model, which is a slight modification of the original BBC user needs model. I really like the Wall Street Journal approach because it introduced two user needs, which was Connect Me, which can be interpreted in various ways. We use it in terms of connecting people. So that's people's stories. You get connected to the person you're reading about. And they included the give me an edge as well, which we interpret in more in terms of give me an advantage. Because when you're the Wall Street Journal, giving an edge means having information earlier. And that's not really how it works for us.
But you're having to make a judgment on the story to say, this is a Connect Me story, this is a give me an edge one,
yep.
So forth.
Yeah, exactly. Based on the beginning of the article.
Yeah, the headline, the summary, and the kind of the first couple of paragraphs.
Yeah, exactly, because that's the information the user has before deciding whether to click into an article or read an article or maybe even buy a subscription.
Right. And what's interesting is it sounds like a lot of legwork for you, but it's kind of necessary right now. You could have had an automated solution, but you're opting to do it manually.
Yeah, we could certainly have automated it, and others are doing it. There's like two approaches. You know, you either build something yourself and train it on your own data. And there are tools out there as well which can help you. We've decided not to, you know, fiddle too much with what's going on now because we need continuity. And especially now as the editors are committing to this and publishing a number of articles on some of the user needs, we don't want to change too much. And we want to make it transparent to them what it means to publish a Connect Me story or give me an edge or help me understand what's the difference between that.
And you would lose that if you outsourced it all to an AI, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you would introduce some unknowns because that AI, what would it be trained on? Both, is it the same user needs model? That's one thing, but also what content is it trained on? If you're using another publication's or various publications' output, what is that? How does your content fit into that? So that's sort of, you know, there's a risk there that you lose that shared conversation around how you use user needs at your organization.
Good. It clearly is an educating experience, right? Because the long-term goal here surely is where you don't need to be micromanaging the situation. The editors are comfortable enough to do this on their own on a daily basis.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really interesting how we're going to do it moving forward, because I think personally, I really, you know, I'm all for automation when it makes sense and so on, but I just really liked it if we, that's me personally speaking, that's not in put in plan anywhere, but that if we could sort of if it could be the editors, you know, who are doing it, because they can do it up front as well.
Yeah. You spoke about the meetings that you have with editors as well. What happens in those conversations?
So usually when we meet with our publishers, it's the meetings we have every other week is with their head of editorial development. And we sometimes bring journalists or editors into the room. And that's basically just to get aligned on what's happening. The way we are organized, each publisher has an editorial head of development or head of editorial development, which is the connective role the other way around. So they are the ones who work most with our IT department and with us in commercial. But with Berlinske, we ran workshops in the spring on user needs. So I spent a lot of time talking to editors back then. It was my first time meeting them. I prioritized to get to know them. I asked them basically the same question you asked me at the beginning of this podcast. How does a week look? How does a day look? Just to get to know them. And we still do check-ins with each other. It's not as regularly as the meetings across commercial, IT, and the publisher, which I mentioned before, because I have a background in journalism. I think that helps me because, you know, there's a bias going on there when you're talking to people who has the same background as you. But it also really helps me to have important conversations with editors, which are really important because it's about the journalism we produce and how it creates value for the for the people who consumes it, which is probably the most important part of the equation.
Makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, broadly, what we're talking about here is change management, right?
And yeah, exactly. Huge.
Yeah, but one of the problems I suspect you run into, one of the ironic problems, is that journalists and editors don't really like change very much. Has that been
none of us like change, Jacob?
Well, maybe so, but has it been hard to get a kind of buy-in for this vision? And maybe what does that look like?
Yeah, it's been hard. It's been really hard, and it hasn't been hard because of any malice from people. That's at least what I think. But it's just that for me, user needs at Berlingske has been like a headlining event, you could say. It's like one of the most important things. But at some point, certainly, it wasn't the most important thing to them. It was perhaps one of them or sort of somewhere below that. So, and we all have to prioritize how we spend our time, you know. And so even though I got early, you could say buy-in, we can go back to that word a bit later, talk about what that means. But even though I got early buy-ins from the editors-in-chief, you need that buy-in to execute change. You know, every book on change will tell you that. You know, it takes time when you're working with people and you're trying to get them to do things differently. Being a journalist myself, I guess I can say that journalists aren't the easiest people to work with when you're working with change and change management. So obviously there was pushback, but I always try to look at it in a constructive manner. So I sort of to try to use that pushback to really understand the person I'm talking to. Like years back, I was on a project management course, where the teacher taught us about, you know, the three types of resistance. So the first resistance is I don't understand the project. Mm-hmm. And the number two is I don't like the project. And the final and the third and final resistance type of resistance is I don't like you.
So which one was it? Which one of the three was it? Lars?
It's been we are on number one and number two.
Not the third one, surely.
There might be some number threes out there, but they haven't told me directly. But one of the things I like is when I'm having lunch, for instance, is just to greet the other editors. And that's also that means that, okay, they don't hate me completely. But for me, it's trying to really get to understand what type of resistance am I facing here? Is it because they don't understand what we're trying to do? Is it because they don't, or because they don't like it? And just to try to mitigate that. But Berlingske has their culture, you know, and sometimes change takes time. But there was for me you could say kind of frustrating months, where I just constantly, you know, you need to never give up. Basically,
did you identify positions of influence within the organization to say, listen, if I get this person on board with me, that's going to have a ripple effect? And if so, what did that, you know, to come back to that word buy-in?
Yeah.
What does that exactly look like?
Yeah, and very short answer to your first question, did I look at which people to get on board? Yes, of course. Obviously, I did that. But I was also very lucky. So before presenting a model, I always do an analysis first. So I think the first one was based on like 3 weeks. And we could already see the patterns and so on. So no need to do more for the first analysis. And it aligned with some of the talks and thoughts they've already been having. So they've been... Before I entered started working at Berlingske Media, they had worked with, you know, we need to understand our audience better and find out what drives them and so on. And so the user need model was for all of us really quite easy, you know, easy, I'm doing quotation mark, to attach to that because it made sense. You know, here is a scalable model where we can actually talk about in a shared language, which is so important when you're doing change in an organization to have a shared language. We can have a shared language on what it actually means to work with user needs and trying to understand our audience and give them the best possible journalism so they buy a subscription and remain with us for as long as possible. And one of the editors-in-chief, who's called Tom, described the user needs model. He said that to him, it's like a prism, not a prison, but a prism with an M on the end.
I was going to clarify, prism with an M.
Yeah. And and then from there on, I was quite lucky because I had that buy-in, it made sense to you to gather all the people, the important people in the room. So we did. We set up a workshop with the editors, but before that, we had a check-in where one of the, he's our, you could say, I think his title is news editor, something like that, a guy called Peter, who is a brilliant journalist, was actually introduced to me through that. And he is sort of one of the key persons for me.
You know, is it enough to just have, yeah, we'll do it? Or does there need to be a sense of accountability and mutual expectations and an agreed upon sort of working relationship? You know, what are the details of that?
Yeah, sure. It's great to have a let's do it. And the first 3 weeks are, you know, that's great fun. Yeah, we're doing it. We're actually doing it.
But that wears off after a while, that novelty, that motivation.
Yeah, exactly. And then
where does the sustaining element of this come in?
Yeah, exactly. So that's when you're actually working with change. And that's where things start, you know, the train grinds to a halt.
Falling back to old habits, all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's when reality just peeps in. And so keeping it very practical, what I did was, like, you know, keep the conversation going. I've continued to talk to the head of editorial development and, you know, keep the line open. And the editors from Balance Gate I talk to the most, you know, have days where I'm half a day maybe where I'm working from Balance Gate, from the newsroom, so just really to be accessible and so on. And then I also started sending a weekly newsletter, analysis email, which I still do. So every Thursday, they get an email summing up what they published behind the paywall the week prior, both the number of articles, how did you publish across the user needs, but also how did it perform. I tell them a story based on the data. So it's like maybe like the number of articles who aren't converting, or it might be what have our existing subscribers preferred to read this week, and so on. And I did that because just to remind them that, you know, there is this thing called user needs. We all agree that it's a good idea. I assume you're still up for it. And there's also this guy called Lars, you know, he's really keen to work with you and so on. And I think it's just completely natural, both when you start executing change, that you're going to meet sort of, well, both resistance, but also, as you say, the old routines kick in.
All of this is quite unfamiliar for journalists. Update Me stories, as we've discussed, are really the bread and butter of news stories. So getting reporters to change how their articles are crafted is a big ask. And it's no surprise that some need a bit more convincing to come along for the journey. But Berlingske, like many news publishers, realise this is necessary as the media industry moves away from the clicks era and towards the value era. For their company to be sustainable, they need to provide content that will keep readers paying, because recurring revenue is predictable revenue. It's early days, but reducing the amount of Update Me stories is also dropping the number of articles with zero conversion rates. That's a good sign, but ongoing testing will be needed to call this a causation. A more positive change within the last 12 months, Lars says, is that attitudes towards user needs appear to be more encouraging.
I see more editors at my desk, you could say. I'm on the first floor where the commercial department is, and Balance Gate is on the third. So that's, as you may know, and other people might know, that could be a long distance in an organization, even though we are on the same address. But I see them more, I hear more from them. And the newsletter, actually just today, one of my colleagues at Balance Gate requested to be added to the list who receives my weekly email. So that's nice. Always nice to get a new subscriber for you.
Very rare that you get a journalist asking for more in their inbox.
So. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'm joining all of the editors meet every other week, and I'm joining them on Wednesday the next week to talk on how I apply user needs to stories, because obviously there are questions. You know, what does it mean to take a help me understand story and make it into a connect me story? How does that actually look like?
Right.
Is it enough to change the image? Is it enough to change the headline and so on? And that's the part of it I really, really like, because that's when we're actually trying to change something into something that can make a difference. So these are really important conversations, and some of the editors have already reached out to me with questions like this, because they really need to understand both how we talk about user needs, but also how we apply them. So it's not this black box thing. Oh, there's this guy called Lars, and he just magically every week just apply user needs to our stories. We're not quite sure how correct he is, but we sort of try and go along. He seems nice. So it's really important that there's a lot of transparency going on there. So we're going to have a lot of really important and I hope fruitful and great conversations on what's the difference. I'm going to bring them some examples and say these two stories may look similar, but let me tell you why I think this is a connect me story and this is a give me an edge story and this is a help me understand story and this is an inspire me story and this is an update me story and so on.
But they just need specifics and examples and good data and all of that good stuff to make it happen, I suppose.
Exactly. So now we've had the toast and we've had the speak and now we are rolling up our sleeves and getting to work.
Well, that brings me really nicely to my next question, which is what's the next phase of maturity here in this user needs journey and this change management journey, and what kind of road bumps do you expect when that comes along?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the next step is to, you know, get back from the honeymoon, because we're still in January and we've just kicked things off. So I can see in my analysis that something is happening behind the paywall. But you know, user needs can't do it alone. So you can't just publish a story on a certain user need and then expect success. So I look forward to doing the analysis on, you know, the next couple of weeks on our output there and seeing, are we still seeing the same tendency? If we are, great, let's keep on going. And if we aren't, what has happened? Because we are trying to publish more articles on certain user needs, which has worked before. And we're doing that based on an assumption that we can scale that. So if we find out that we can't, then we need to look into, okay, what's happening? Is it because of the audience, not the audience team, but the audience out there in the real world? Or is it because we've had to change something in the journalism and in our output to accommodate how to publish differently on the user needs and so on?
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of testing of hypotheses and that sort of thing.
Exactly. So finding these answers, and then, as we spoke about earlier, of course we need to find a more scalable way to apply user needs to our stories, so it doesn't take up my time, and it can, what can you say, live on its own.
Yeah, perfect. That's super interesting. Really, to kind of round things off then, for anyone listening in who's maybe about to start a user needs journey or about to start a change management journey, what would be your advice to them in terms of the likely road bumps ahead and where to go from here?
Exactly. Okay. So the first one is the obvious one, and which every article and book on change management will tell you, and that is to get the aforementioned buy-in from management. And this needs to come from the top if you need things to change. If you're in an organization where you can't directly go to the top management or the corner office, you need to find out how to get there. You know, who can get you and your analysis in that office so you can talk to the right people.
So that's like a key stakeholder really in the company.
Exactly. Because when the going gets tough, and when we did workshops in spring, and then the following months until the end of the year, you know, there was a lot of other stuff going on at Berlingske, so they weren't, if you ask me, there wasn't enough focus on user needs, but I'm pretty sure they did the best they could. But, you know, seeing it from an outsider who had a lot more writing on user needs than they probably had at the time. But what in the end gave us the success and the ability to pick up user needs and really do it was the buy-in from management. You know, that was the two editors in chief and the head of editorial development who said that, okay, we could see on the data that nothing had changed, but we need to do something. So they decided on doing a catch-up sort of with all of the editors and so on. If the buy-in from the two editors in chief hadn't been there, that recap, or what you could call it, wouldn't have happened. I thought it would have fizzled out over time.
Right.
So that's the first thing. And then the next thing is, and I spoke a bit about it earlier, find a narrative around what is it that this change you're trying to get people on board with, what's it going to change and how is it going to change it and why is it for the better? You know,
To mitigate resistance, to mitigate fears, for what reason?
Yeah, exactly. And you also need a story that everyone can agree on and which you can then fall back on when, as I said before, when the going gets tough. So, you know, we had very clear, you know, not clear goals, but clear parts of the both the business side, but also the, on the journalistic side, where user needs made sense. You know, so like, yeah, we're using user needs so we can publish fewer articles that generate little or no value, and we can instead invest more of our time and resources into the stories that create a lot of value. Because at some point you're going to meet resistance or things start to fizzle out, and then it's just important that you can remind yourself and everyone else why this was such a good idea in the first place. Also to get it to as concrete as possible and to get, you know, buy-in from, in my case, the all of the editors and so on. It's sort of a, well, it's not a vision, but it's where you're going, and it's something that everyone can agree upon that we need to do. And then the last one is, and it's funny enough, I read it about in a recent Harvard Business Review article where they talk about how you work across a siloed organization. And in the media industry, we are quite good at building siloed organizations. So the article is titled How to Lead Across a Siloed Organization. I would recommend everyone to read that article. But one of the points in there, which was is also something that I've learned for myself, is that you need to find out what success means to your colleagues. So in my case, it's been the editors at Berlingske, finding out what success means to them and what they're trying to do. When I sat down with every editor for the first time, you know, I really took time and prioritized to hear them talk about how they work and what they're trying to do and what KPIs are they aiming for and how are they doing it and how do they work together and so on. Obviously, there are a lot of great tips and so on. But for me, you know, if I could choose only three things to, you know, to give to other people out there from my experience, I think that would be my my top three.
Awesome. So let's summarize that for a second. It's get senior buy-in from the very top of the organization. It's create a narrative around your user needs journey, and it's to define success and link that to the project that you're rolling out.
Yeah, exactly. And both the success of the project, but also success to your coworkers. Yeah.
Amazing advice. Lars, thanks ever so much for jumping on our podcast. It's been a blast. Thank you.
Thank you.
My takeaway for today is a Danish expression that Lars shared with me post-interview, which roughly translated means you can't change culture without structure. All the good ideas in the world will flicker out without proper buy-in. Get key stakeholders on board first. That's for sure. But Lars' weekly analysis email is a great structural suggestion to keep the flame alive. But there's lots of other ways you can do this, and if you've come up with a great way to sustain newsroom projects, then I'd love to hear it. Find me on LinkedIn, Twitter @JPGjournalism, or email me at jacob@journalism.co.uk. You can check out all of our episodes on all your usual podcast platforms by searching and subscribing to the journalism.co.uk podcast. That's all we have time for this week. I've been your host, Jacob Granger. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.